We pay attention to that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, right? And when Pat was reading, she, instead of prophets, she read disciples. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that is speaking. Really, I'm serious. It's the Holy Spirit that is saying those things because God wants us to know that we are his disciples, right? And we are here to worship him. Amazing that the first words from the scripture today are, so Peter opened his mouth. Amen. Right? And we need to open our mouths. We need to open our mouths. Too often we think, should I say something? Oh, I don't know if I should say anything here. Peter opened his mouth, right? Peter opened his mouth. That's a word from God. We're supposed to open our mouths. We have masks on a lot these days, but we're still supposed to open our mouths, right? And we're supposed to express ourselves. Now, the things that come out of our mouths need to be God-pleasing, okay? You can't be opening your mouth and saying something that is going to be mean or unchrist-like. We want to be opening our mouths with what God wants us to say, right? And those are things that are filled with love. And we've been hearing about love all through this time of the Holy Week, right? This Palm Sunday where the people were shouting out Hosanna. You remember? It seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? It was just like a short time ago that we were remembering Hosanna, save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. And we are living in a time where we need to be shouting that out. Lord, save us because we're in deep trouble here, right? There's a lot of pain and sorrow in this world, but Lord, we know that you can save us. And then we go into Maundy Thursday, and we remember from Jesus where he's washing the feet. He takes off his robe, puts on a towel around his waist like a servant, and gets down. And all the disciples are like, what is he doing, right? This is our master. This is the one we want to be the king, the Messiah who is going to come and take us away from all of the oppression and everything that is going on around us. And we want him to be, and what is he doing? And he starts to wash their feet. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be servants. And this is strength, okay? This is not weakness. This is strength when you're showing yourself to be someone's servant. It makes a big impression on us. And we were all very moved by the fact that we were washing one another's feet. We should do that more often too, you know, but at least once a year on Maundy Thursday. And I hope that everybody will come and do that again because it really transforms you when you start to open your mouth and also start to wash feet. And you have a person's foot in your hands, and you're washing it, and then you're drying it with a towel. You know, it changes you, and it's not supposed to be something that we just read about. It's something to practice. And then we go out and we say, I'm going to help other people too. And then there's another aspect to the Maundy Thursday service, which was breaking bread and having communion together to remember Jesus, that he broke, his body was broken for us and his blood was poured out on the cross for us, right? And he said, remember me this way. And so we have communion that way today. We're going to have that during the baptism today, okay, when Sue Lamb is going to be baptized today, amen? So, you know, there's a lot of great things that are happening, right? There's a lot of good that are happening, transformative things that are happening around us. We have a lot to be happy about today. And then we went into Good Friday, and, you know, I was laughing with somebody. I was saying, you know, actually tax day, the last day for taxes to be due, is Good Friday. And they were laughing and saying, what's so good about Good Friday? But, you know, it's the same kind of thing when we think about the Lord Jesus and what happened to him that day. He knew he was going to be killed, and he was brutally, really murdered on a cross. He hung on a tree like we were just hearing, right? And so that we came together as a community of Christ to mourn and to give thanks for such a Savior as he, who died on the cross. He was completely alone. Even the Father didn't respond to his cries. Right, he was completely left alone because the Father knew that he needed to die for all of mankind. For you and me to live, Jesus had to die. That's an amazing thing. And so when we look at our lives and we think about things that we're complaining about or things that are going wrong, just think about the fact that Jesus died for you. He loves you, right? That takes us from a place where we're thinking of things in such a self-centered way. And we start to think, oh, you know what? I'm going to live for other people because Jesus died for me and he loved me. Then I'm going to express that kind of love to other people. And it takes us out of what the world wants us to be in, which is, you know, violence and hatred and envy and strife. And it takes us into the realm of the kingdom of God. Amen? So beautiful. Such a beautiful Savior that we have. And then we come in today and we start to sing and we're on the steps outside and we're listening to the music being played and we're listening to the words of God being read out in public there on the steps there, you know. Another thing that we ought to do more often, right, to be outside and show people who we are inside here. I bet there are a lot of people in this neighborhood who have never stepped foot inside of this church. Would you agree? You know, I still remember, I probably told this before, but this lady said, are you the pastor of that Korean church? And I said, okay, yes, I am the pastor, but it's a Chinese church. You know, so, you know, I mean, we need to do a better job of letting people know who we are. Amen? Right? We're not ashamed of it, are we? No, we're not. We are very proud of who we are because God has made us the way that we are. We have nothing against Koreans, right? Okay, so I have two new people in my family that are Korean. Like, what I'm saying is that, you know, we want to be proud of who we are and let people know that, no, it's actually, that's Chinese, it's not Korean. And they're, you know, we're Korean and Chinese and everybody all together in our church. Amen? And that's perfect lead into this kind of a thing, right? With this scripture here. Now, this scripture is a great scripture that talks about the gospel. And so we're going to get into it in four different parts today. First of all, we have Peter, who is an apostle, and he is someone who knew Jesus personally, right? And he was someone who knew him and walked with him, and he saw what happened to him at the cross, that he died for his sins. And then Jesus redeemed his life and he came and he told him to feed my sheep. And so Peter was doing that. He was going out and he had spoken already before thousands of people and told them about the gospel. And he saw many of his own people, the Jews, being saved. It was amazing for him to see that happening. And then there was this amazing time that led into this scripture where Peter and a centurion named Cornelius were given visions by the Lord while they were praying that they needed to come together. And so Cornelius sent these people to Peter's, where he was staying, and said, come to talk to me, you know, and tell me something that the Lord has prepared for us to hear. And so Peter had this vision that he was supposed to go to the Gentiles, which was basically just forbidden for the Jewish people. They were, the Gentiles were unclean, right, for the Jewish people. They weren't supposed to have anything to do with them. They weren't supposed to go into their homes. And he went there because God called him to do that. And so this amazing meeting of these different cultures came together, which shows us the unity that God, through Jesus Christ, has brought. Right. And so that's what I'm talking about with all these different cultures and everything like that. There isn't anything like that. So what does he say? Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Amen. There's no partiality. No partiality. There's no favoritism. Right. God loves all people. Do you remember the verse that Jesus, it was the words of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Everyone, right? And so this impartiality of God is mentioned in different scriptures. Let me read you one that has to do with the later scripture as well. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You who were once far, far off are now brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. That is what the world needs to hear. And that's what we need to hear, right? No hostility, man. No hostility. There is love found in Christ. He came to bring that about, and he did. He offers it to all people in that kind of a way. It was mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy the same way. No partiality. In the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, the same thing. No partiality. In Romans 2:11, no partiality. There's no partiality in God. What an amazing verse this is. Peter has brought into our attention here, right? But God so loved the world that all people would be saved and be brought together like this. Think about it. A Roman centurion, a person who was representing the people who brutalized Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, I want you, Peter, to go and I want you to bring the gospel so he will be saved. That brings to me, into my mind, Jesus looking down at everyone when they're dividing up his garments, just like a bunch of jackals trying to, you know, scramble for a souvenir of at the cross, you know, for the killing of Jesus. Let's take home a souvenir. And he looks down and he says, Lord, will you forgive them, please? They don't know what they're doing. Right. So we have no right to think of anything about anyone in the world because we don't know what we're doing sometimes, right? I've many times I could say that about myself. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, but God teaches us that we want to make peace with people, right? And so going on in verse 36, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. And here we see God's purpose through Peter. He's bringing the purpose of God to Cornelius. It's about revelation of redemption and peace. Revelation and peace. You were talking about Yoah asking a question. Well, how would you express what our peace means to someone? How often does peace come up in your conversations in this world? I don't know. It doesn't come up very often in mine. But because we're witnesses of Jesus Christ, we need to begin to speak of the peace that is found in Jesus Christ. I can completely understand if any of us has a problem with that, because when you go up to people and they say that you can find peace in Christ, they'll say, where is it? And you say, well, it begins when we bow before Jesus Christ and give him our lives. And we understand what he did for our lives in going to the cross so that we who were lost and dead in our sins would be reconciled with the Father in heaven. You know, our sins are washed away. And I really like the answer that was, you know, given yesterday at the rehearsal with the music team. In addition to that, we are reconciled with the Father. We're separated. Our sin has broken us apart. We're at war. And because of Jesus, we're brought together with the Father. And that's what God brought about through sending his son Jesus. Right? And so we have this amazing peace. It's also a sense of peace. Do you know when Peter probably felt a lot of peace in his heart? When Jesus came up to him and he said, do you love me, Peter? And he said, yeah, of course, you know that I do, Lord. And he had just denied the Lord a short time before that three times. Peace comes about when you mess up and somebody says, I love you. And we all mess up, right? And when we practice that about with each other, you know, there's this breaking apart. We feel like, oh, I've done it now. Or that person did something, you know. But then when the Lord's peace comes into a situation like that, it's this place where we really want to be and stay, where we say, let's go out and get a meal together. Let's put that behind us now. Jesus loves us. He loves us and he wants us to love one another. So let's put that behind us now and let's go and enjoy a time together and celebrate the forgiveness and the peace that Jesus gives to us. Right? That's the kind of peace that Peter probably felt very, very, very strongly. And he maybe even shared that with the centurion here to say, you know, let me tell you about my life and how many mistakes I've made and the things that I've done wrong. And yet Jesus comes and he gives me his love and he gives me peace. He restores me, gives me hope. The third thing we find in the next verses is God's love very much at hand here. We were talking about that already, but let me read on. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And then they put him to death by hanging on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And you're thinking, okay, so where is the love of God here? Well, it's found, first of all, in the life of Jesus, right? He came into the world. It was prophesied that he was going to bring peace and love in, from the Father in this kind of a way. And so his love exuded love. His life exuded love, right? Think about it. We were thinking about it this past week, right? And talking about it on Maundy Thursday and how he loved his disciples and washed their feet. He was always looking out for other people, living for other people. How are they going to survive without me? They're going to be concerned when I go to heaven and I leave this earth. God, I need to tell them and it's going to be all right, that God is going to provide for them, that I'm going to be interceding for them. He's constantly looking to help people in his life. He comes across people who are outcasts, tax collectors, sinners, people who are blind, people who had demons. Can you imagine having, you know, a situation like that? And maybe some of us have that kind of situation where you have people who are out of their minds and you don't know what to do to help them. And Jesus comes in and he says, I want to go spend time with them. I want to go and I want to spend time with these people because they're forgotten by society. I want to go spend time with them because they need to know that they have worth in this world. You know, I read a book one time. It was such a great book by this man who worked for World Vision. And he was from India. And he did a lot of study into how people feel when they're poor. And basically what he had to say was that they think that they're born into it. That there isn't anything that they can do about it because they're just lost. It's just their lot. It's a destiny. It's something that it's a curse. And there isn't anything that can be done about it. And the people who have power in the world love to take advantage of the weakness of these people and to look down on them and to use them so that they can be lifted up. The kingdom of God is completely the opposite. It's completely the opposite. We have the greatest one who exists, the Most High God. And he sends his son to earth and he says, I want you to go to the poor and the weary and the people who are forgotten. Exactly those people who think that they were born into such a situation, have zero hope, and let them know that they have a hope and they're going to have an eternity in paradise. That's the difference that Jesus makes with his love. He comes and he involves himself and he spends time with people who are forgotten, and that's what we need to do. Right? It was in his death when he died on the cross. He went to take all of the pain upon himself, right? Thinking of us first, thinking of the Father, the will of the Father, of being obedient to the Father, to be willing to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to allow this to happen to me for the sake of you. I want you to be all right. I want you to know that your life is going to be good. I want you to know that your sins are going to be forgiven. I want you to know that there's going to be hope for you and there's going to be great things coming in the inheritance in the Father and the things that he has prepared for you. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and take care of you. And that's what happened, that he was empowered through the Holy Spirit in his life. He was baptized. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what? To bring love into this world. That's what God shows us through Jesus' death. And then the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is love there too because he overcomes all of the things that we're worried about for the future. He shows us in a time when many people are dying with COVID and all different kinds of way and war and all the different things that people who supposedly think that human beings are the hope of the world will never understand, right? That he came back from the dead. He resurrected from the grave. And that is what Peter says here to this man, to this Roman who was hearing the word of God from him. Listen to it again. It says, God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Can you imagine Can you imagine that moment? That's what it's all about. That's what life is all about, right? This man was dead. He was brutally killed. They saw it. They knew it. There wasn't any doubt in anyone's mind that he was dead and he was buried. And he came back to life and he came and ate with them. That is what life means in Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what God is showing us in our lives, that we're dead in sins. Jesus died carrying the weight of all the world's sins on his shoulders, and he came back to life through the power of the Holy Spirit working in him, the Father bringing him out of that grave and restoring him to life. And that is what happens to us. Are you having trouble bringing it in, or do I hear hallelujah well enough? Hallelujah. Praise God, right? I was dead in my sin, and now I'm alive, and I'm eating with all my brothers and sisters in Christ and Grace Church. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just him, it's us. It means that we have resurrected with Christ. We have life, right? That is what it means. That is what Easter means. We have resurrected with Christ. He has given us life through his death on the cross and resurrection. And he's coming again. And we're going to see him one day, right? Just like Peter saw him in that kind of a way. But this is also, it's something we won't really be able to understand until we see Jesus face to face, but to see Peter in this kind of a situation where he knew Jesus, he was looking to Jesus as being the Messiah, he ate with him while Jesus was alive and he wasn't dead in the grave. Right? He did all those things with him and he knew him well, right? And then he saw him come back from the grave. What an amazing thing that must have been. How exciting that must have been to see someone who was dead come back and come up to you and say, go and feed my sheep. Right? That is what Easter is all about. And this is why it's so wonderful and so beautiful today to be able to experience this with each other. And then he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And here we have God's gospel, right? And this is what we need to learn from this today, because this is not a listening kind of a practice today for this worship service. This is a learn and act service, right? It is one in which we are equipped to go into this service, gaining the knowledge that we need so that we can go out from this service and put our faith in God into action. Caring for the sick, looking for people who are sick, wanting to get involved with people, spending time that we usually spend on ourselves and other things with people who are outcasts and are in need of help. And that means all people who are without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, without knowledge that someone loves them, and whatever happens in their life, that they can depend on him and they can know that he lives. When we tell them this great news, this great gospel that he's given to us, we also know that he's coming to judge the world, right? And this is the part that we don't like to hear as much, but there is a judgment day that is coming, and Jesus is that person, right? He is the one who is being testified as being that judge, appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead, right? And so this also causes us to stop and to think about life and the fact that we are going to appear before God, our maker, one day, right? And we want to be able to say, Lord, I gave all that I had. I gave all that I had. I believed in you. I repented of my sin. I was baptized. I was beginning my life anew, and I lived for you only. I know that I struggle, but Lord, that is what my life was about, because you saved me, right? And to know that he says, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. Right? That is what we want to hear at that time. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his names. People on earth today need to be aware of the fact that there is sin in this world. It isn't just a matter of people doing things that are harmful to other people. It is called sin. And it needs to be dealt with because it's deadly. And that is the thing that we need to really understand, right? That there is, it's not something that we want to shy away from. We need to let people know that there is a solution for sin, and it's found in Jesus. Can we see that slide? I have this slide. Karl Barth was one of the great theologians and preachers and men of God, and he loved this painting because it was showing John the Baptist pointing his finger at Christ, and he's pointing away from himself, and he's pointing to Christ. And he said that is really what it's all about, right? That John the Baptist had a lot of people coming up to him and saying, are you this, you know, this prophet? Are you this person? Are you the Messiah? Are you all these different things? And he said, no, it's Jesus. And that's what we do in our lives, everyone. We can take this example here of this person who says, he's the one. He's the Savior. He's who you need in your life. This one who is hanging on a cross, this cross of shame that becomes our cross of light, right? And of glory. Amen? It's the cross of glory. And that's what we see here, right here in this example, right? That the clothes are no longer worn, right? There's no more death in them. There's no body being wrapped with these clothes. They're gone, right? The body is gone. He's no longer here. He has risen, just as he said. And that's what we want to do. We want to point to Christ. What do I do with my life? Go to Jesus. My mother told me that many, many years ago. I went to her. I said, what do I do with the guilt in my life? Go to Jesus. He can save you. I can't help you, but Jesus can. And that is the easiest thing that we can say, right? So we need to be bold. We need to be able to say these things just like Peter did. He opened his mouth and he started to talk to Cornelius, right? He started to talk to him about these things. And Cornelius heard these things and the Holy Spirit gripped him and his entire family, his entire household, all the people around him were saved in that moment. That's the power of the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we believe in. Amen? That God can come into a life in any situation and bring transformation. He can bring a Jewish follower of Jesus who was taught not to go near Gentiles to go into the house of one and to bring the gospel to them and to share in the family of God. There is no partiality. There's no partiality. There's no Jew or Gentile. It's all one family, right? And we're going to be hearing more about that when we talk about what it means to be baptized later on today. And I hope that all of you will come at 1 o'clock for that, because that is really important. It's really important that we come as a community to celebrate what God is doing. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's not about ourselves. It's about being followers of Christ, and that we wash the feet of one another, that we look out for one another, and we worship with one another. And so just as a completion, before we sing the responsive song, I just want to remind you that we're here to make a lot of noise. Right? Not just like a noise that is without any meaning, but a praise to our God. That is what our lives exude, right? We want to be able to do that. Take your gift for cooking. Take your gift for architecture. Take your gift for medicine. Take your gift for all those different things and ask God, how can I glorify you in this way? And he'll show you. Amen? And then all these seats are going to be filled with people who have heard the gospel, just like Cornelius, and we're going to be Jew and Gentile, we'll be Korean, we'll be white people, we'll be African-American, we'll be Chinese, we'll be all kinds of different people, all coming together because there's no partiality when it comes to God saving people. Amen? That's really what it's all about. Isn't it exciting that God has given us this opportunity in life to be alive at these times? So let's praise him and let's sing this wonderful hymn that was written to help us to glorify God together.